30 years ago today, abortion became legal across the United States. On this anniversary, anti-abortion activists are seeking major changes, including in sex education. They say current programs focus too much on contraception, thereby promoting sex and increasing abortion. They're asking the government to stress instead abstinence until marriage. We have two reports on the subject, the first from NPR's Richard Knox.
While the political debate grinds on about stopping legal abortions, the fiercest battlefront these days is about the best way to prevent abortions, that is, prevent unwanted pregnancies. Everybody agrees on that goal, but Americans differ sharply on how to get there. For Leslie Unruh, there's just one way. It used to be called chastity.
We really are about purity, and everyone understands whether you call it, you know, abstinence or chastity, it's purity, and it's about purity of mind and physical purity.
That means keeping young people pure until marriage and training them to be monogamous ever after. Unruh is founder and president of the Abstinence Clearinghouse. She and other abstinence until marriage proponents are feeling pretty good these days.
You know, both sides are talking about abstinence because 5 years ago, even 2 years ago, most of the different organizations that were promoting sex education were laughing at the word abstinence, and they were saying it's not something that's realistic.
Nowadays, it's even hip to abstain from sex. That's the message of this ad campaign from a group called Not Me, Not Now.
But he's so cute, and they're so sweet together. You don't think, though.
Look, just because you're dating doesn't mean you're doing it.
You can just date, you know. They're just dating. And besides, it's not just Tommy's decision.
You know, she's got a future. She's got a lot to lose.
Okay, I believe you.
Not Me, Not Now. Making smart choices about sex.
22 states now require schools to stress abstinence in sex ed classes. One-third of American high schools teach abstinence and only abstinence. As a condition of accepting federal funds, they may not teach teenagers about contraception. These programs have powerful supporters. Leslie Unruh recently met with President Bush.
Well, he told me, he said abstinence works every single time. He said, why can't these people get that?
Abstinence-only advocates like to point out that abortion rates are dropping. They're almost back to where they were when the Supreme Court handed down Roe v. Wade. Abortions among teenagers have fallen the most, by nearly 40% among 15 to 17-year-olds between 1994 and 2000. But abortion rates began falling long before federal funds for abstinence education started, so who or what should get the credit? Researchers at the Alan Guttmacher Institute, a source of data both sides respect, say AIDS awareness deserves a lot of the credit. The researchers also say increased use of contraceptives is the biggest factor in the decline, accounting for about 75%. Abstinence and reduced sexual activity, including fewer partners, accounts for about 25%. But that's not the way the Bush administration sees it.
I would not agree with those numbers. The data would not support a conclusion that more young people are using contraceptives.
Claude Allen is Deputy Secretary of Health and Human Services. He's the administration's point man on abstinence-only programs.
I believe what we're seeing is probably a greater, particularly among young people, a greater degree of abstinence, that is, avoiding sexual activity altogether until much later on. And that has been what we think is a driving factor with young people in terms of the reduction in teen pregnancies and therefore in terms of abortions.
To make sure the abstinence message continues to get through, President Bush is asking for a substantial increase in abstinence-only funds for next year. Allen predicts future increases beyond that. Advocates of strict abstinence, such as Leslie Unruh, say they won't be satisfied until funding for abstinence-only programs matches that of comprehensive sex education, which includes contraception as well as abstinence.
We don't even have anywhere near what the sex education industry's been getting for dollars to support their programs of $2 billion.
It's not a legitimate comparison. It's apples and oranges.
James Wagner is president of Advocates for Youth, which supports comprehensive sex education.
There is no formally sexuality education funding for the comprehensive approach. There is significant dollars that are increasing by the day for abstinence-only programs, which censor information about contraception.
To calculate even $1 billion in federal funding for what they call contraceptive promotion, conservatives have to count much more than classroom education. They add in all family planning clinics, $450 million in Medicaid money for family planning medical services, even the entire Indian Health Services budget. Lately, arguments over sex education have gone beyond funding. The Bush administration has been rooting out official statements that talk about the effectiveness of contraceptives. A new government website on condoms stresses their failure rates. Another website listing comprehensive sex education programs that work in reducing teen sexual activity simply disappeared. Former Surgeon General David Satcher says it's unfair and unwise to withhold information that can prevent unwanted pregnancies and reduce the risk of sexually transmitted diseases. Satcher says it can also destroy the credibility of government's respected health agencies.
Whenever people become involved in campaigns, ideological campaigns, it is a risk to public health, and I think we're going through a very dangerous period if that, in fact, is happening, and it seems to be.
What science shows about the effectiveness of abstinence-only education is also in dispute. James Wagner says there's lots of evidence that instruction in both abstinence and contraception helps teenagers postpone sex, and when they become sexually active, it helps them protect against pregnancy and disease. In contrast, he says, there's only one solid study showing that abstinence-only education delays the age of first sex. That program asked kids to sign a virginity pledge, but there was a drawback.
The young people who signed a pledge, once they became sexually active, did not contracept as other students did who had taken a more extensive sex education program.
Wagner says the current campaign for strict abstinence is more about clashing cultures than it is about science.
It's a moral crusade, and if the cost is more pregnancies, STDs, and abortions, so be it. Sex is the ultimate enemy, not pregnancy or disease.
But advocates of abstinence until marriage insist their approach works and say they'll soon have federally funded studies to prove it. Meanwhile, Leslie Unruh says her conviction rests on experience.
When somebody says to me, it doesn't work, well, then I can take you to my daughter's wedding pictures and take you to her, you know, her tape video where she stood there and she said, I waited until marriage and I'm giving you tonight my purity as my gift.
Whatever the future holds for legal abortions, it's clear the passionate debate over how to prevent abortions will continue. Bush administration officials say detailed sex education doesn't belong in the classroom. It belongs in the home. Richard Knox, NPR News.